like to get an email from us, we also have an email list where you can receive an update on our ministry. But I believe that prayer is the greatest need that we have. And so we would ask for you to pray that pray for that God would bring people to us and that He would help us to find the people in whose lives He is working. Pray that God would raise up new missionaries. There's a great need there. I'm getting close to the end of the road as far as missionary work goes. And so pray that the Lord will raise up more missionaries. I wanted to share to you about one family that started coming to our church. They were invited by our co-workers. They had known them in another city, and they came to our church by an invitation. They came just for lunch. They came to the church to be with the family, to renew an acquaintance, and the family had invited them to eat with them afterwards, and so they decided they would come to church. And that first Sunday, the Lord worked in their hearts. They had done 2 years of catechism to become Catholics as adults. And they said what startled them in our church was that we opened the Bible and we taught and preached from the Bible. And so they kept coming back. And they started in September. In November, I said to our people, you know, next year, if you've never read through the Bible, I want to give you the challenge to read through the Bible. And so I was trying to prepare our people to do that. And that couple started reading through the Bible then. They didn't wait for the new year. They started in the 1st of December there to read the Bible. The lady had finished the whole Bible in 5 months. The man took a little over a year, but in a little over a year, he had also read the Bible. And in the process, they had both come to know the Lord through the teaching of the church and through a study in the Gospel of Mark. They came to know the Lord. And then their daughter also, one of their daughters has come to know the Lord. And she would like to even be a missionary. So we're just astonished by what God is doing. We have another young lady who's coming right now who the Lord put it in her heart to go back to church. She says, I went to Sunday school as a little girl. Her family didn't go, from what I understood. But she said, I went to Sunday school, and she came back to church. And she's wanting to be baptized now, too. And we've had several other people who the Lord has brought to us. And so just pray that the Lord would continue to work in the hearts and lives of people, and that He is the great worker, isn't He? He is more concerned about the souls of people than we are. He is the Lord of the harvest. We have our part, but God is the Lord of the harvest. And He is the one working in our world above all. You know, Jesus, I have a short message here. I think it'll be short. Jesus astonished people by His miracles. Jesus also astonished people by His teachings. Jesus had a habit of saying things that surprised those that opposed Him. When the religious leaders opposed Him, He surprised them sometimes by His answers. But sometimes He even surprised His disciples. They were often surprised. And one of those things that must have surely surprised them was the calling of a tax collector to follow Him, Levi. If you have your Bibles, let's look in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I think most of you are probably aware that a tax collector in the first century in Palestine, in Jewish territory, was among those that was most despised by the Jewish people. They were considered as traitors to their own people, the Jewish people, because they were working for the Romans and taking money from other Jews. And so tax collectors often took much more than was required, and they pocketed the rest. And they were considered in the same category as great sinners, immoral people. And in fact, good religious people, even as our story shows, the religious people among the Jews considered this kind of person as impure, and they avoided them. And so Levi was certainly an outsider to the religious community. And I want us to read there now in Luke chapter 5. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans, other tax collectors, if you want, and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's take just a minute to pray the Lord to work in our lives through this story. Father, we pray now that you would teach us through this story. What a great story. What a great event. And we would ask right now that you would, by your Spirit, take what is in this passage to challenge your people, to transform us, to make us more like Jesus, to make us more effective in our lives, in our ministry for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we learn about what it is to be disciple of Jesus from this story. There's many things you can say from other passages about what it means to be a disciple, but here we learn some things about being a disciple. A disciple is someone that follows Jesus no matter what the cost. A disciple is someone that follows Jesus no matter what the cost. Put yourself in the place of Levi. He's got a great job. If he needs more money, he just raises the taxes on people. What was Levi's background? He was surely of Jewish origin, according to his name. But somehow he had probably become attached to money to such a point that he was willing to tax his own people for the Roman government and actually be an enemy of his own people. But something must have happened in his life that had begun to change him. Had he been among those tax collectors that had gone out to hear John the Baptist? The Bible tells us that many tax collectors were going out to him too. Was he among those that had repented? Had Levi talked to Jesus in a private way? But in any case, I just imagine that day when Jesus walked in front of Levi at his desk there, the Bureau of Customs, and said, "Follow me," that was a surprise for his disciples. A surprise for everyone. And maybe what's more, even more surprising is, he did it. He rose up and followed Jesus. He left his job at once to follow Jesus. That's remarkable, isn't it? That is remarkable. And I don't know, is there someone here tonight? God is saying to you, "I want you to go over there and help reach that town of 32,000 where there is only one church." Or maybe another place in France. Or maybe there's some ministry here in the U.S. that you ought to be doing. And God is saying, "I want you to do that." Is there some other ministry or some call that God is putting on your heart, and you need to respond to that. But Levi obeyed there. He did what Jesus asked him to do. He gets up and leaves his job in order to follow him. Maybe you know the story of the Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf, who was in Germany. He was passing through. He was passing through. He was passing through Dusseldorf on his way to Paris and eventually to Holland. And he, while his horses were being treated, were taken care of, he visited a nearby museum of paintings. And one painting captured his attention. It was a painting by the Italian painter Fetti, and it was the title of the painting was "Behold the Man," and it was Christ on the cross. And at the bottom of the painting were written the words, "All this I did for you. What have you done for me?" And he stayed there until the museum closed. And finally, the director of the museum said, "It's time to close." And after that, his life was changed. He invested his family fortune to further the gospel. And for over two centuries, the gospel has gone out because of the change that took place in that man. He obeyed those words, "Follow me." And I don't know, is there someone tonight that God is saying to you, "Follow me, follow me"? So a disciple is someone who follows when Jesus asked him to do something. A disciple is someone that reaches out to others. You know, Levi here in our story, when he decides to leave his job, he has a great feast. And who's he invite? He invites other people that are like him, that have been rejected by the religious community. So much so that the Pharisees and the religious people murmured against the disciples of Jesus, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? But you see, I think Levi understood that those people needed Jesus. And as a person saved by grace, we ought to realize to what extent we are blessed of God. The people around us don't have that. I think of the class of people with whom I graduated, most of them have no knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many of them don't. And I myself was just another religious person trying to do enough religious things to make my conscience feel good. And yet God sought me out. And so Levi here reached out to those people that were like him, and he brings them to Jesus so that they can meet Jesus too. You know, we live in a society today, they call it a pluralist society. By that I mean, in our society today, people think that all religions are the same, don't they? Pretty much. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so we live in this society where people believe that all religions are the same, but it's not true. The people around us, if they're a good Buddhist or a good Muslim, it's not enough. Or just a nice person, it's not enough. They'll come up way short. The people around us need the gospel. You know, it's interesting. Who is this Levi? Who is Levi? Who is Levi? This is Matthew. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, this is Matthew. Same story is told, and he gives his name in his own gospel as Matthew. And so Matthew goes from being an outsider to becoming an apostle. He goes to being really an insider, doesn't he? What grace! How great was that grace? And not only that, he writes a gospel. Not all of the apostles wrote gospels. But God in his providence chose Matthew to write a gospel. And you know what's ironic? Who does he write his gospel primarily for? He writes it primarily for the Jews. Those same people that had pushed him out, he writes a gospel to try to reach them. I hope we're investing our lives in reaching out to people. Reaching out to people around us with the gospel. I hope you have tracts with you when you go places and you're leaving tracts and trying to witness to people. I think of William Borden, who was an heir of a great fortune. And he sensed God calling him to go to China. And he goes halfway around the world before getting to China. He goes over to Cairo, Egypt, to study Arab. And while there, he dies of cerebral meningitis. Some say, well, his life didn't amount to anything. But you know what he did during college? During college, his family was very rich. He took his money, family money, and he used it to start a mission there in New Haven, Connecticut. And this mission ministered to 14,000 men in 1 year. They had 14,000 men attending gospel meetings in 1 year. 17,000 received a warm meal. 8,000 found a place to sleep. One day they asked a theologian from England who was visiting in the area. They asked him, "What's the greatest thing you saw in America?" And he said, "It was seeing that millionaire on his knees with those poor men in the mission, praying with them." He was praying for those men, down there praying on his knees with those men trying to reach them. And I say, he was investing his life trying to reach people. And that's what God wants us to be doing, is trying to reach out to people. I've joined a ping pong club to meet people. So if somebody says, "Well, do you play good?" No, but I'm an encouragement to the others. They beat me and they feel better. You know how it is when you beat somebody at something, you feel a little better about your game. Well, I do beat a few people, but I'm trying to get involved with people outside of my church so that I can meet new people and invite them to church. Talk to them about the gospel. And so I would encourage you to think, how can you get involved in the lives of unsaved people and bring them to Christ? Another thing, final thing here about the disciple. Not only is a disciple someone that follows Jesus no matter what the cost, and then a disciple is someone that reaches out to others, but finally, a disciple is one who has his eyes opened to his need of grace. A disciple is one who has his eyes opened to his need of grace. The religious people feared to attack Jesus directly with an accusation, so they speak to the disciples here saying, they murmured against disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" But it was Jesus who answered and said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so here Jesus mentions those that are sick. No one in that group is sick. In other words, this is not talking about physical sickness. This is talking about, in some sense, that affliction of all humanity, that of sin. And so Jesus here says that he can only help those who recognize that they're sinners. Sometimes, you know, I sometimes startle people. I say, no one is good enough to get into heaven. But most people are not bad enough. They're not bad enough in the sense that they recognize that they need grace. It's when we, that is almost the great moment, is when we realize I'm in bad shape before God. I am a terrible sinner. I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. It's kind of an aha moment when we realize I am a sinner. I try to help people sometimes. I say, if you only did 3 sins a day, how many would that be in a year? That's over 1,000 a year, isn't it? And sometimes we do 3 in a minute. You know, we're like that story of that other story of a publican and the man who went up to the temple, the religious man, the Pharisee. The Pharisee prayed, "Oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I give the tenth of all my income. And I fast twice in the week." And yet, there was a publican there, and he just prays, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." And that was the man, Jesus said, that man went down to his house just with God. And that's where the life of a disciple really begins, is when we have had that moment when we recognize we're a sinner and we turn to God and ask him to save us from our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He was a sin offering for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But the story of Matthew is a story of grace. Grace. Jesus chooses a man of very questionable moral values to be one of his disciples, and it was a shock for people. But God was rich in grace. So many stories in the Bible are about people that normally wouldn't have been chosen, and yet God chooses them in his grace. Have you experienced Jesus working in your life, first in accepting his call for salvation? And then, is he calling you to do something more than you're doing now? Is he saying, follow me to the mission field or to the ministry or just maybe some other service right here in the church? We need to be obedient to that call. God wants us to reach out to those people around us also. As a disciple, there are a lot of Baptists in this area, but not all Baptists know the Lord, do they? And you have the role of helping people see that they have a need. Sometimes when people ask me what I do, I don't always tell them right away. I say to them, I try to help people see what they don't see. And one of those things is to see their need of Christ. I take it from there and I try to show them that they really haven't seen who they are. That they need Christ. You know, when you're talking to people and you ask people, are you a good person? How do most people respond? I'm about as good as anyone else. Even a little better, most people think. Even people who don't go to church. It's rare you find somebody who says, well, I'm in the bottom third of the class. You ever had somebody say that? I'm in the bottom third of the class or bottom fourth? No, everybody thinks they're pretty good. But it's helping people see that they have a need. And I would say in this area where everybody's been raised Baptist, maybe even been baptized, but have they really come to know Christ? I'll turn it over to Gary.
Well, I think the question's simple, isn't it? Are you a disciple? You enter discipleship through salvation. You continue through service. And I wonder tonight, this is our Wednesday night crowd, know most of you, have you become a disciple by following Christ in salvation? And then today, are you doing exactly what God wants you to do? In a moment, the ladies are going to play 482, or the lady. Where he leads me, I will follow. That's discipleship. And maybe tonight God has pricked your heart and shown an area specifically where you need to follow him, and you're not. So let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes are closed as Mariana plays. And if God has spoken to your heart about a matter of following Christ, come on and spend some time with the Lord. If you're not a believer, if you've not entered discipleship through salvation, that's where it starts. But if God is speaking to you tonight and said, boy, you need to follow me in this area, will you surrender to the Lord, bow the knee to him, and say, Lord, here I am. I'll do it. Will you say, where he leads me, I will follow? That's discipleship. That's being a disciple of Christ, a follower. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Ed, for that good message. I'm sure tonight as you leave here momentarily, you'll want to stop by the table, get a prayer card, sign up for the email prayer list, meet the Christies if you haven't met them before, and just encourage them in the Lord, and that'll be great.